Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
I never believed we would pass a bill that would give you a pay raise if you got unemployed. I want people to get their income while they're unemployed, but I don't want to increase their wages because you incentivize people to leave their job.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list and a statue.
Dr. Randy Tobler joining us this morning from his own Liberty Lair. I guess I'm going to have to come up with a name for mine, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was going to ask you about that. I think you ought to have a show maybe on one of the music stations calling it Shock Jock in Place. What do you think?
Oh, I like it.
How would that work?
Nice. Nice. So we're trying to dig through this CARES Act. I know you heard Lindsey Graham there coming out talking about this unemployment benefit, where you could actually, you'll be able to make more being unemployed than you made working. That's not disincentivizing anything, is it?
No, you know, I think that this results from the Senate and the soon-to-be the House are capitulating to the progressive hordes on the left, and they're increasing in number. And I think this is a result, Mark, of the thought that the man, meaning anyone who owns a small business, whether it's the ice cream shop down the street or, you know, GE, is evil. And we don't dare ever consider anymore that the best, very best way to have people employed, fulfilled, feel great when they put bread on the table for their family at night is to have a job. Because, by God, that man is evil and cruel, and he's just a tyrant. He's just Mr. Potter, you know, out of It's a Wonderful Life. And so we just have to give money to the people. We have to take from the man and give it to the people, because that's the right way to do things. This is really a reflection of the progressive/socialist movement in this country, Mark. And I think in order to get something done, the GOP on both sides had to capitulate. That's the only way I can figure this.
Well, I think you're right, and I think we're going to find out what that means when it gets to the House. Listen to Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who, like Rahm Emanuel, is always willing to take advantage of a crisis. To cut 10.
This bill is very helpful, but it's just the first step.
Yes, this is just the first step, Randy. You have to understand. So now Nancy Pelosi is going to get this in the House, and she's already said, now, wait a minute, put the brakes on. There's no way we can do unanimous consent on this bill, which would mean everybody's just in agreement and it passes. We're going to have suddenly 24 hours to read it and determine what else we want to try to leverage out of this before we send it back to the Senate. That's sad.
It's very concerning. And I'm going to tell you something, Mark, that I mean, I think folks in the metro area, they may not feel it right now the way people in rural Missouri and rural America are feeling it. But I can tell you, I was on a call on Monday afternoon with Senators Blunt and Hawley and their legislative aides. And, you know, I go up to D.C. at least a couple times a year, and I talk with the senators and or their aides. And I can tell you that there is a existential threat to at least 50% of America's rural hospitals, Missouri included. We are not an exemption. Of closure within the next 6 weeks.
Wow.
Most small, and I was quoted in a Kaiser News Foundation piece. I actually made it to NPR.org, and people can, I'll tweet it out after the story again. But they interviewed a few of us in Missouri and across the fruited plains, well, including Georgia, which isn't a fruited plain. But, I mean, rural hospitals run basically hand to mouth, generally a few payrolls worth in cash. I know at our little hospital up in Northeast Missouri, it's about, three to four payrolls at most, and that means emergency cash, Mark. And every day they delay this, I feel like I'm a person on COVID in the ICU getting ever breathless, more breathless, and my oxygen saturation going down. We laid off 12 people Tuesday. We made across the board status of change cuts from 40 to 30 or 32 hours, and eliminated a few job positions. Physicians are taking pay cuts because, frankly, unless some relief is forthcoming, I don't know how us and several other hospitals around the state are going to stay open. Now, we're not the big boys that are going to have the multiple beds for the ICUs, but we've converted our as-built two negative pressure isolation rooms to a 9-room unit with, very nice, newly engineered. It looks like a MASH unit. We've got, zippered, plastic down the hallway and airtight so that we can take care of people, because we think it's not if, it's when. But and every day that Nancy Pelosi dawdles, I have to tell you, Mark, I'm going apoplectic. Michelle and my wife would have an interesting conversation off the air. We don't know what we're going to do, and I'm not alone. And so whether it's an overrun of big hospitals, and it could come to a community like St. Louis, trust me, we're seeing it up in New York. They're making makeshift morgues outside of the hospitals, and it could come to St. Louis, Columbia, Kansas City, and here in Missouri. Or whether it's just, frankly, closure of hospitals at a time when they're most desperately needed. And to see these legislators up there trying to put new green deals and carbon credits for airlines and bailouts for, because I actually heard some people recently saying that they're predicting a civil revolution in this country if this continues, Mark. While these people dawdle and fiddle, Rome is burning.
Randy, it's shocking to hear that risk is out there. Is there any relief in this bill targeted to rural healthcare systems?
Yeah, well, I think the good news is for all healthcare workers, they claim to be coming through with some personal protective equipment. Of course, if it's not there to be given, because it's just not in the stockpiles, because we've sold our fortunes and our national health security to China, they're going to distribute it. I know the governor has made orders from commercial vendors to the tune of, I think, a couple million dollars, and or billion dollars, to try to redistribute that across the state. But, so there's something in there for PPE, for sure. There's also something allegedly that's going to try to give advance payments of the same kind of monies that rural hospitals are used to getting on their revenue stream, because they're largely Medicare funded. And Medicare doesn't pay for the actual cost. It pays for about 95% of the cost of Medicare patients. The problem is the other 30 to 40% of patients are not Medicare. They're either uninsured or they're commercial insurance, and the commercial insurers are not being a lot of help. They have not been a lot of help in healthcare for the last several years. I've gone after them tooth and nail, off on and on and on. That's another story. There's something in there for it. I just think it may be too little too late. And I told Senator Blunt on the thing the other day, and so did so many other people, including Charlie Shields from Truman over in Kansas City. And there were others on the line from BJC. You know, there are going to be hospitals closed because it's too little too late. There are going to be healthcare workers that come down with COVID and, yes, die. I was really stricken and stunned Saturday morning, in case anyone wants to listen. The first hour of the program, especially the first segment, was quite moving, because I had learned that a nurse that I worked with at St. Mary's Health Center in the 90s and into the 2000s, Judy Wilson, died. Judy Wilson Griffin, she died. She was the first county resident to die. She was in her 60s. And it just struck me so much. And that's going to happen again if we don't have enough damn masks and gowns and face shields, for crying out loud. Healthcare workers will die. And I don't know whether it's going to be too little or too late. And I appreciate all that the senators are doing. They're doing all they can. But this is a lack of preparedness. I have been like Paul Revere for 10 years and others like me, saying that, you know, the onslaught is coming. The struggle is coming. We don't know from where for when. We don't know whether it's going to be an elderly population and Alzheimer's and heart disease overrunning us. We don't know whether it's going to be this or that. You cannot have a congestive heart failure, which describes a lot of inner city and rural healthcare institutions, doctors' offices, and facilities. You can't run on on fumes and be at the edge of survival, like a congestive heart failure patient, and then put them on a stress treadmill test. They'll die.
No.
A cardiologist wouldn't even think of doing that, Mark. And I've been begging people in the healthcare system, I've been begging patients to advocate for better support of healthcare facilities and cut the regulations and cut the crap. And now the chickens are coming home to roost, to use a Reverend Wright term. This time I'm using it in exactly the right and accurate way. Forgive the soapbox, Mark, but I saw this coming, and now it's here on us, and I don't know how we're going to deal with it, my friend.
So, Randy, load me up here. Do you have a good question for Senator Blunt? Want to get him on the radio in about 45 minutes? What would you ask him this morning?
I understand there's some Medicare advance payments, and God bless Senator Blunt. He gets it. He knows it. And every time I've had a conversation with him, my wife and I were up in February. We had a great conversation with him. I think the biggest question is there a way he can expedite the money and cut through the process of statute turns into regulation, where, as we've talked about ad nauseum, regulators they can be the bane of your existence because they gum up the works. And then by the time you make the 100-page application for whatever it is they're going to come up with, you know, you're 6-8 weeks down the road and it's all over. It's all over but the shouting. So can they expedite this and worry about the reconciliation later? And yes, you know, do a little trust. We just need a little trust. We just need trust. The assumption in D.C. is that, yes, there are scam artists out there. There are people, there are doctors who claim that they see 100 Medicare patients a day and they're fraudulent. Those are the 0.001. We need the money now. We need the relief now, or else it's going to be calamity. So I think he's got enough influence. I think he can probably help cut through the regulatory tape. Let's hope so.
Yeah, I'll ask him. Randy, thank you so much for the information. That's eye-opening.
Get more at 971talk.com.